Today is kind of a, it's kind of an, it's a special day because it's the day after this Thanksgiving break, and we're somewhat like smaller and a little bit more intimate. And so I just wanted to start off like with just a little bit of a talk about like what's going on with church, what's going on with us, what's going on with like things. And then we're gonna end, and then Maya will be baptized today, and so we have it's a more intimate setting, but it's a very joyful setting. And yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit about like what's been going on. I would say over the last 3 years, one interesting thing that's been going on with Cleveland Heights Church is over the last 3 years, Daniel Schmickens mentioned this morning, I think we have doubled our number on Sunday morning. And even in the last, like, if you were here in August, you would realize like, hey, how many people are normally here on a Sunday? And it would be about maybe 85 or something. And then in the last 3 months, September, October, November, if you ask like, how many normally are here on a Sunday morning? It is about 130. And and then we wonder like, did we do something different? But somehow the Lord is attracting people. And we see more on Sunday mornings, and it's something that we are thankful for. Maybe it is the faithfulness to the word. Maybe it is some kind of testimony that is given among us. Maybe it is just the fact that like there are people who are where the Spirit is moving in them and they are seeking more. And we're just very much like before the Lord about this. It's a joyful thing, but also like a sober thing. And I'll say, a little bit about that in kind of two ways. Number one is like it causes us, the those who are taking the lead here to just consider a lot of different things. And so we've been considering a lot of like, what about how can we use our facility in the best way with the increased number? And then anybody who is serving on the lunch, which we really appreciate, everyone who serves to make lunches for us. Should we just applaud everyone? Because that has been a real blessing to the church to be able to fellowship over lunch. But then you realize, like, hey, we used to make for this number, and now we have to make for this number. And and even the children's time, the children's service downstairs is expanded, it's different. And we are thankful for, I guess you could call them growing pains. Because things have to change, things have to be a little different. So we have like a consideration. And so I think it's very good for all of us to pray for this as we consider the facility. Should we put a second floor on? We're just kind of considering these things and being before the Lord. And it'd be very good if all of us would just have that in our prayer. And also just our ways of meeting. You just have like what would fit with the Lord's like current blessing that we have been seeing. And then also a number of us are just adjusting to what goes on here. was with Sister Edith this Tuesday, and she was on the Tuesday night meeting, and then she's like, "You do not pass a plate." and so, hey, wait a minute, you didn't pass the plate. And then, can I say, you said you were at some places where if they don't pass it once, then they don't get enough once, then they pass it twice. And but we don't pass the plate at all. And so some people wonder, like, where what's happening? Well, there's a little box back there, and on the top of that box is called offering. And underneath is like a Venmo, and we just trust the Lord that all of us would really be before the Lord, about our finances. And then, you know, you just have a sense before the Lord, "Lord, all of my money actually comes from you. And yeah, I work for it. I earn it in a certain way, but it really comes from you." And then you would have an interaction with the Lord, like, "How can I, Lord, what is yours?" And then you could do it in a secret way over there. You just hang out there. But I don't know, people don't have cash or checks anymore. You know, those are for the dinosaurs. But anyway, if you're a dinosaur, you still write checks. you know, there's that. But you just kind of like before the Lord. And then we're so thankful for all of the material supply that has come in that way. But anyway, like a lot of people, like, where's the plate? You know, there's there. And then, you know, how can I be involved? That's another question. And then I would just say, like, you know, we have a pretty, like, you know, you could look at our church structure and you could say, like, pretty relaxed. But actually, there's like a real way for everyone to serve. And there are services that people can join, and it's a little more organized, music or other things. But there are two big ways for everyone to be able to serve. The first one, you meet somebody and you pray for them. You pray for them. You wonder, like, how could I serve in the church? I know Anna, and then this Anna, not that Anna. Oh, where's the other Anna? Not that Anna. No, both. I know Anna. I just pray for her. And then, can you imagine what a wonderful church life, where when one of us starts to fall a little bit, you have eight people praying. How can I serve in the church? Pray. How can I serve in the church? Pray for each other. And then another way to serve is you just look for people who are in need of not spiritual need. And you could just, like, I could read the Bible with Austin. Just read the Bible. One time somebody called this sister, she's kind of new among us, and then it's like, she called her on the phone and said, "I'd like to read the Bible. You want to read the Bible?" And then the sister said, "What's this for? Like, are we preparing for, you know, is this a ministry? Is this, what are we?" And then the sister was like, "It is just to read the Bible so that we can enjoy the Lord together and we touch the Lord together and we just grow." And then the person on the other end of the phone thought, "Oh, I've never heard of that before. That's kind of interesting." Welcome to the church life, where there's just this kind of life together. And, you know, so there are different ways. So it's like, in the one hand, like Cleveland Heights Church, we have to adjust to, like, having maybe 140 people on Sunday and thinking about, like, what can we do? And then the other hand, then we have a number of people, like, what? How does this work? How does this work? And then it's interesting because we have about six sister churches in the Metro Cleveland area. It's about six. Willoughby, maybe Willoughby, Akron, Lorain, Cleveland, like Twinsburg, Cleveland Heights. Yes. And one thing that's interesting about where we are right now is that they're all growing, which is very interesting. It's like, oh, and then some of them have been around much longer. We began in 2005. I was here, Peter was here, Jenny was here, Betty was here, others, you know, in 2005. And I'll just tell you, I might throw away my message, but I'll just tell you a story. I just said, I remember we used to meet in the Alcazar Hotel. We began to meet in the Alcazar Hotel until a small child poured a cup of orange juice into their fish pond. And when I saw that, I'm like, we're out of here. I think we're out of here. But maybe the second time we met, or the second message, I just stood up and I said, like, okay, we got 12 new people here. By the end of the year, it was August. By the end of the year, we'll probably be about 1,000. And we'll move to another city to start other churches. Well, you know, when you serve the Lord, you realize what is your ego and what is the Lord. And you start to learn. But I'm really thankful through all the time that the Lord has raised up so many people through this gathering. And still is working. And will we be a mega church? I don't really, that's not a dream. And we raise up solid brothers and sisters who really know the Lord. That's a dream. And, a lot of our other sister churches, they've been around for much longer. Betty, when did Willoughby start? Like, 70s, early 70s, late 73, 74. But then they're also growing. Praise the Lord. And, we got together with them and we just considered, like, and then a number of us brothers got together, saints, brothers and sisters got together. And then we felt like, oh, we need like six topics to help us all kind of come into seeing similar thing. And so that was like one time Brandon gave a message here. That was one of those topics. And then we have a book over there. And then like a booklet you could go through. And then when we were together with all of our sister churches last 2 weeks ago, we talked about another one of the topics. And then in December, we'll have another one of the topics. And then January, another one. And then it'll end in April. And then you could pay attention to those topics because they're like eternal life, the spirit with our spirit, growth and building. Like there's a building of the body of Christ. There's the view of the church. There is eternal security and reward. And there is Christ's heavenly ministry. You don't have to write them down or whatever, but just realize that those six topics are here for us to be I would say to get very solid teaching that is not just defining us, but is enabling us to grow in a great in a solid way with the Lord. And so that's kind of like a response that we have to, like, oh Lord, you seem to be blessing in different ways. And then we would like those six topics to be a solid way that all of us can be founded in a healthy teaching. And the healthy teaching is not just so that you know what we teach, but it is so that based on that healthy teaching, we can go forward with the Lord. So we really treasure the eternal life. We really treasure the spirit with our spirit. We really treasure a certain view of the body of Christ. And we are here to be part of the building up of the body of Christ. And so that's another thing in our our setting. And then the final thing before I do get to this is this. We just noticed, just in particular, now, for some reason, just a lot of people have different challenges in their life. Relationships, like just personal challenges, family challenges. And, you know, when the Lord moves or grows, I don't know how much these are related because it's hard to know exactly, but when the Lord moves and grows, he has an enemy. And Satan also moves. And, you know, when the house is built on the rock, the winds blow. And those winds are from the air. The air is, he's the prince of the power of the air. You see a lot of different things in a lot of different settings where it was like, wow, the enemy surely is busy. And is it correlated to the growth? I don't know. But you could say, like, these things are happening at the same time. At the same time. And so I would just say, like, every time the Lord moves, he tests. He allows tests. And there's a good deal of testing. And you know, I was reading this book by Jesse Penn Lewis, and it says, you know, it's on spiritual warfare. And then, you know, she, you know, some people just cast out demons. She's like, no, you can't just do that so simply. I wish it were so simple. You have a demon possessed person, and you just cast out the demon. But she said, you know that story that Jesus said, there's a demon that goes out of somebody. And then he everything's swept in here. And then the demon gets seven more sinister than himself, and comes back and finds everything swept and clean. and then the next state is worse than the first. And so what is important is, like, there's a ground that has to be girded, edified in us. So when Satan moves in a family, when Satan moves in a person's psychology, when Satan moves in a person's relationships, when Satan moves in a person, you know, affecting all of these things, I wish it were so easy. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I wish it were that easy. But it's, I know the Lord. I learned how to have Christ. I learned how to be girded with the truth. I learned how to have the Lord shine light in me. I learned how to lay hold of him. I learned how to walk with him. I learned how to give him room so that he can make home in my heart. That is what edifies people. And that kind of thing, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet that are shod by the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these things, it's not just a be gone. It's this: can I go deep with the Lord? And in those times of testing, of trial, my roots go deeper. I learned who I am. I was exposed. I thought I was a 10. I ended up being a 2. Just like Peter. If everyone, I will go with you. Peter told Jesus, I will even die with you. And then this little girl comes up and says to him, weren't you with Jesus? And he's like, no, I swear, I don't even know the man. Peter did not know who he was. And he found out. But What a value to find out now rather than then. And then you get to say, Lord, I need something more. I need something more. And so now it comes to my message. It's a little bit of like, where are we? And also a little bit of like, what's going through our consideration? And then the message is really simple. We have a high priest. The main point in what has been said is this. Some people wonder, like, what's the main point? Well, the Bible says this is the main point. I don't know if he kind of lost his train of thought. If you read it, the main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest. That high priest is Jesus himself. And I can't emphasize enough how valuable it is to know he's our high priest. And then some people think like, oh, I am here to serve the Lord. And little do they realize how much they themselves need to be served. Not by other people, by the Lord himself. One time, this sister, this is a long time ago, she just said, Rex, I don't want to come to Cleveland Heights. Because basically, if I come to Cleveland Heights, there's so many needy people there. Anna, why do you laugh? I will just serve it. Like basically she's saying, I'm just better than they are. I'm stronger than they are. And I'm gonna be serving them. So I don't want to come. So eventually she came. She started meeting with us. And you know what? Eventually. She needed to be taken care of. What's that? We have such a high priest. Lord, I thought I would go with you to death. And actually, I just need you. And so the Lord just says, you know, when you turn again, restore your brothers. That work of the high priest. Even just to say, Lord, I just don't know. I'm just not that consecrated to you. I look good on Sunday. But maybe 1 p.m. I need you as a high priest. And he's a high priest. He's obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. And he just is there restoring you. God gave so many promises, and we'll talk about some of those promises. And then those promises are promises God gave of what he would do, not like the old covenant, which is what we should do. But it's like what he would do. And then Christ as high priest is just ministering those things to us. And I would just say, that is what we really need. One old brother, elder, respected brother. He said this, I don't know if I sin more than you. I just turn quicker. Now he wasn't out, you know, get you all this kind of whatever, you know, kind of terrible, gross sins, but just like, I just realized like, I just need you. I need the Lord. Now, let me just tell you one thing, and this is one thing he does. Okay, this is the covenant, the better promises. And then I'll just go through this. Days are coming when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they didn't continue in my covenant. So you look at the old covenant and you just realize, like, well, that's what God instituted with Israel when they came out of Egypt. And there was a parting of the Red Sea, there was manna, there was all of these things. And you think, like, wow, if I saw God part the Red Sea, if I saw him give me manna, a miracle every day, I would be so faithful. You don't know who you are. Because they said that they did that, and they didn't continue in my covenant. Eventually, even when the manna fell, they made idols. And I think it's funny. Like, the manna was falling every day. And then they made this golden calf. And then I joke when I think about it. It's like, I think somebody had to brush the manna off the calf. God's giving you food. You make a calf. It's like, hey, could you get that manna off the calf? We're going to worship this idol. That's people. And so God's like, I'm not going to do that. And then he says this, I will put my laws into their mind. This is a covenant. This is a new covenant. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will write them on their hearts. So Tom, you're here. I gave you this illustration last time. Oh, Tom, this Tom. Do you know what my illustration was?
No.
That's right, because you had a group meeting. Yeah, that's right. So this is the illustration.
You read the Bible.
Let's read the Bible. Are you enjoying that word?
Very much.
Are you in spirit?
Yeah, it's Matthew 24.
Praise the Lord. Okay, this is his new covenant. The old covenant is this. Do it, do it, do it. I'll do a miracle to impress you. Then do it. This is a new covenant. I'm the Lord Jesus as his high priest. While he's reading, enjoying the Lord, and I just get up. And then I give them to his mind. And that means he can understand it spiritually. And then not only that, I write them on his heart. That means he actually loves doing it. And he loves the word. And he's changed. He's changed. Thank you. That's the illustration. He writes on you. And you enjoy the Lord, he writes on you. One time I was so offended by this person. I was so offended. And then he just kept going through my head. It's like, why? I was laying there going to sleep. Lord. Maybe I confessed it. Maybe it's the 15th time. Lord, this is on my heart. And then it disappeared from my heart. My offense. My whatever. And I just felt a freedom. Why? Because the high priest. He wrote something in my head. Maybe he gave something in my head. Maybe that would be something like, forgive your brother from your heart. That's what Jesus says. From your heart. From your heart. Forgive your brother from your heart. And it's like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. And then he's like, I'll write it there. It's like, I will put my law into their mind. I will write them on their hearts. And I just realized, he is my high priest. He's my high priest. And then there's just a change. There's just a change. And then, it's a lot of different things. I'm kind of focusing on the negative. Sorry, I'm focusing so much on the negative. But there's so many other positive things. Like I'd rather not. I'd rather be to myself. I'd rather be just to myself. I like being with myself. And then the Lord's like, live a life for the gospel. Live a life preaching the gospel. And you're like, I don't know how I can do that. And then his word is, go therefore and disciple the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you're like, okay, I just want to be for myself. I want all my prayers to be for myself. But then the Lord puts somebody on your heart and you start praying for that person. And you start, sharing the word with that person. And you just realize, like, I am a different person. Why am I a different person? Because I have such a high priest. He has a more excellent ministry based upon better promises. And he is executing that ministry by changing each and every one of our hearts. Let me tell you, that's why it's just so important. I'll just whip out this phrase. Enjoy Christ. Enjoy Christ. You know, just enjoy. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Lord, I love you. I just love you. As I love the Lord, I enjoy his presence. You know what he does? He writes. Some people say, this is how you to be a good Christian. Shape up. Get serious. I saw a church sign once. Visitors welcome. Members expected. Whoa. It's like, whoa. Shape up. I'll tell you another search I saw. Walmart's not the only place for saving. It's not bad. Anyway, that's not part of my message. But anyway, I just had to, yeah. No, but you just enjoy the Lord. You enjoy the Lord's presence. And when you enjoy the Lord's presence, he is changing you. He's changing you. One time, we were reading a book about enjoying the Lord's presence. And this guy, he graduated from a pretty prestigious university. Pretty prestigious. And he's some kind of theology. And he looked at that book and he said, after this book, all that it's about is feeling. It's just about good feeling. It was about enjoying the presence of the Lord. And he's like, it's only about good feeling. What about feeding the poor? What about whatever? Well, I'll just say, right now, that person is doing nothing. But I'm loving the Lord. Peter's loving the Lord. Many of us are loving the Lord. Why? Some people could just say, oh, it's only about feeling. Other people say, no, that is the presence of the high priest. The high priest presence. And then the high priest writes on you. And then you go into the presence of the high priest, and you don't come out the same. He writes on you, and then all of a sudden, you just want to, like, I just want to serve the Lord. How do you get people to serve the Lord? Be in the presence of the high priest. Maya, do you want to serve the Lord? Did Shulamite just say, Maya, if you don't shape up, I want to serve the Lord. Did she say that? Are you enjoying the Lord's presence? Yeah. And then he writes on you. And then you want to do stuff. And you want to give your life. That is the most marvelous thing. So, this is it. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. And then I like it. Like, you know, it's so important. I'll just finish with this. To really have a relationship with this book. Because the more we read, the more he writes. The more we can know it, the more he writes. So Paul tells Timothy, you, however, continue in the things which you learned, become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Isn't that really good? From a child, he knew the sacred writing, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture. All scripture. It's all inspired by God. And as you read the scripture, he writes. He's right. As you read in the presence of the Lord, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes. He writes. A lot of people wonder, like, how should I feel about this or that social issue? Read the book. How should I feel about money? Read the book. How should I feel about my marriage? Read the book. How should I feel about relationships? Read the book. How should I feel about church? Read the book. And then as you read this book, you just realize, like, oh, I'm getting educated. I'm becoming a different person. And let me tell you, every part of scripture. All scripture is God-breathed. Some people think, oh, parts of it, I can't handle it. I'll just end with a list. If you want to know who Jesus is, read the Gospels. The Gospels. The Gospels tell you who Jesus is. If you want to know how the gospel can spread, read the book of Acts, and you'll just be amazed. Wow, we can win. Oh. If you want to know solid teaching about the church, about salvation, about Christ, read the epistles. Paul's, John's, James, Jude, Peter. The epistles. If you want to know how the world that we know will end, read Revelation. You need to know how things end. Because if you don't know how they end, how can you prepare now? Read Revelation. You need to know how things began. That's why you need to read Genesis. And then you also begin to see how God worked in his covenant people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then you need to know what a nation is who serves God. Not American nation, British nation, God's people. That is in Exodus through Deuteronomy. And then you need to know, and then you'll see how the whole thing is developed, and that is important for you. And then you need to know how God uses very imperfect people to carry out his nation. And that is the histories. One time somebody read that, and then her comment was like, I don't know who is good. Like, you read some of those kings, you're like, what is that? Samson, what? And God used those people. And you realize, like, oh, he's using people. And then you need to be poetic. You need to have poetry. You need to like see Christ in poetic form. And the whole Old Testament is like, it's a tragedy. God wants this nation to just worship him alone. And then the nation goes to other idols, and it's like, oh, a woman who is not faithful to her husband. And then what do you do in the midst of that? Write poetry. That's Psalms. You just see the whole thing. It's like, wow, the nation's failing God. But then you see start to see glimmers of Christ come through in the psalm. And then you need to know how to be a person who lives in that setting, where God's people have deviated so much, but you still see something of his eternal purpose. And little parts of Christ come through. Read the prophet. And then you look at all of these things and you realize God, all scripture is God-breathed. And you put all of those laws into my heart, put them in my heart, and cause me to reflect you in the best way. And that is the joy of our high priest. So I'm glad for the setting that we have right now. I wouldn't ask for any different setting. If you would ask, how would you like Cleveland Heights Church to change? I would say, like, I want it to be exactly where we are. It's right here. But I would like us to be able to weather every storm. And I would like us to be able to have more of his laws written on our hearts. And I would like to not just go in a bigger number, but go deeper in our knowing of the Lord. That we could be a testimony of the fullness of Christ. A testimony of God's work among a group of people.